Wholesalers, welcome to another edition of Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. Don't forget, you can find Wholesaler Masterminds Radio located at iTunes. Simply search for Wholesaler Masterminds Radio. Be sure to subscribe. You'll get notified automatically, and you can join us for each and every show, like the one that we're going to do today with someone that you very well might know, as he has been an extraordinary, successful speaker and author. There's one book in particular that you may know of. It's called The Fred Factor, and The Fred Factor is how passion in your work and life can make the ordinary extraordinary. In fact, Mark Sanborn is an expert at helping leaders turn the ordinary into the extraordinary. And he has a sales and marketing background in the publishing industry that goes over many years, but most importantly, over the course of last 20-plus years, 25-plus years, Mark's been speaking to audiences around the world. And the reason I asked Mark to join me today is he's got a new book that I think really resonates, hits the mark for our community. It comes out in mid-October. It's called Up, Down, or Sideways: How to Succeed When Times Are Good, Bad, or In Between. And I'll tell you what, if that isn't spot on for our industry, I'm not sure what is. Mark Sanborn, welcome to Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Rob, my pleasure. It's good to be with you and to have a chance to talk to your many listeners.
Well, I appreciate that so much. Tell me more about the concept of the book. How did you get to this place? And then let's dial in on one kernel of goodness from the book.
Well, let's start with a question. And the question is, can you succeed in spite of, not just because of? And that, to me, is the key question of success in sales and marketing and leadership. That's the key question to success in life. Because so often, when things are good, when times are good, when situations are favorable, people win or succeed and erroneously think it's because of something they're doing, some skill set they have. But when we hit the kind of economy that we're facing right now, with a threat of another recession, high unemployment, low consumer confidence, even companies that have money sitting on that money because they're scared to death to spend it, that's when you find out who the men are and who the boys are, who the women and who the girls are. Because leaders, more often than not, win despite or in spite of, not just because of. And that's really what the book is about, is how do we keep winning regardless of circumstance? And the genesis of the book is very personal, and I won't dwell on it, but it does kind of allow everyone to relate to the fact that there's only two kinds of people in the world, those that have suffered setbacks and those that will. And in 2008, you know, I hit the trifecta. I was recovering from cancer surgery at exactly the same time the global financial markets were melting down, and like many, I was looking at a big downturn in my business. Now, I'd had, you know, health challenges before, I'd had business challenges and investment challenges, but never all in a big way the same week. But the reason that I bring that up, Rob, is because I was not devastated, I wasn't depressed, I actually felt kind of oddly confident and optimistic, because I realized that there had been many things that I had been doing, consciously and unconsciously, that had prepared me for that situation. So I started to noodle on this idea of what should we always be doing, not what should we do when times are good, not what should we be doing differently when times are bad, not what should we be doing yet differently yet, you know, when things are sideways, but what are those things that if we consistently do them will mitigate the downsides and help us take full advantage of the upsides and the sideways movements. That's what the book's all about. It's a book about change that focuses on what should never change.
So, Mark, there's an old expression in our business, especially for wholesalers, never confuse brains and a bull market. And clearly, we're not in a bull market. And I know that you have six ways that you speak about that are the methods to make sure that you are prospering up, down, or sideways. And in our pre-work together, I know you wanted to do a little bit of a deeper dive on one. And this is whole notion of creating and keeping connections. Can you talk to us more about that?
Well, it's easy to create connections. You know, for many years, networking was all the buzz, and then social media has allowed us to have thousands and thousands of friends and followers. Of course, I tell people social media is about creating communication, not creating community. You can communicate in mass, but you create community one-on-one. And it's harder to maintain a connection than it is to create it. There are a lot of professions and industries that during the go-go years pre-2008, you know, were too busy to return phone calls because they were doing deals and writing business. But then, and not to pick on anyone in particular, but I think most of us can relate to this, the mortgage industry hit the skids, and suddenly post-2008, I had new friends I didn't know I had, you know, calling me, stopping by just to see if I might possibly want to refinance, because they've gone from being order takers to having to become order makers. So the point that I make is that not everybody in our life would necessarily qualify as a key or critical or a valuable connection. But for those people who are in our professional life and our personal life, we need to be very attentive to how we maintain those connections. And it isn't just pinging people to see if they want to order from us. It isn't just pinging people to see how we might do more business. It is first and foremost about being genuinely interested in the quality of the relationship we have with them. And then number two, caring enough to do the hard work to figure out how we can create value for them in the larger sense. And that's what allows us to maintain connections. In difficult times, connections sustain us, whether it's a friend who encourages us when we're really down in the dumps, or whether it's a customer that sticks by us when there's pressure to go to a cheaper wholesaler. Those relationships are critical. And the problem is they're not like an ATM card. You know, you don't just stick the card in the machine and the relationship pops out when you need it. You've got to be building and maintaining those relationships over time.
Mark, let me ask you a question about two things. One has to do with sincerity, and one has to do with transparency. So yesterday I'm working with this group of wholesalers, and they were talking about how to communicate better with their target audiences of advisors. And they wanted to talk about how to communicate better but not seem like they were pandering for business. How do I keep in contact but at the same time not look like I'm always asking for the piece of business? They know it's there, does the advisor. It's part of the waltz of business, but I don't have to be pandering for it. So I was talking about this whole notion of sincerity and transparency, and it dawned on me that this, in your creating and keeping connections, those are two bedrocks that perhaps are not described that way, but I wonder if you might comment on them.
Well, I agree. First of all, sincerity is one of those things that everybody would like to have the benefit of without doing the hard work of actually being. If I wrote a book called The Seven Tricks into Making People Think You're Interested in Them, it would probably be a bestseller. But the reality is that you don't trick people into thinking you're interested. You simply begin by being interested. You know, we live in a culture that has kind of taught us that the secret to success with people is to be interesting, you know, the hail fellow, the person with a good story, or the glib comment. And the reality is we've got plenty of those people. What I look for, what you look for, what anybody looks for is somebody who really genuinely is interested in my best interest and what's best for my business. I'll give you an example about sincerity. My wife and I had been tire kicking building a home, and through kind of a long convoluted path, we ended up connecting with a guy named Glenn Zorka, who is a custom builder here. He has a company called Malibu Homes. And we sat down with him and started to kind of noodle out if we bought a lot and he built the home, what that would look like. And he and a realtor and my wife and I started looking at lots. And throughout the whole process, Glenn kept pointing out, you know, you might not want to build. There's some great opportunities in the market right now. You know, there's some screaming deals and short sales and foreclosures, and he was talking about renovations we might do to our existing home, and Darla and I were floored, but we were floored in a positive way, because it was clear to us that Glenn wasn't hell-bent on building a home for us. He'd love to build a home for us. That's his job, you know. What he wanted us to do was get what was best for us, and as a result, and you know the conclusion of the story, we trusted him implicitly. When you can convince somebody you have their best interests at heart, they will trust you. And that's what sincerity is. Sincerity isn't feigning to be interested. It's being interested.
Let me get your viewpoint on transparency, and I want to do it in just 1 second. But you know, wholesalers, I have to remind you, I always remind you, Wholesaler Mastermind Radio is always brought to you by I Carry the Bag. Mark's going to have an article in the upcoming edition of I Carry the Bag. If you want to read it, you have to subscribe. Head out to iCarryTheBag.com, click on subscription. You can get a edition for yourself. Get your internal wholesaler for free. iCarryTheBag.com. Mark, tell me about the other piece of it then. Tell me about the transparency piece.
Well, I think transparency, to me at least, is about two things. Number one, it's about being vulnerable, because I think often we would prefer to spin things than to be sincere about who we are, our intentions, our flaws, our strengths. So there's a certain amount of vulnerability, because frankly, when you put out there who you are, not everybody's going to like you. A good friend of mine, a very successful author, some of your listeners might recognize from reality TV and elsewhere, is a guy named Larry Winget. I've known Larry for over 20 years, and Larry says something that's so true. He says, you know, if you really are committed to having rabid fans, you know, if you're really committed to having people that love you in your life and your business, then you are inevitably going to have some people that hate you and don't like you. But, you know, we try to play it safe, and when we pander to everybody by trying to become some kind of chameleon, you know, one way with one person, a little bit different with another, we gain nothing by that. You need to know who you are and be confident in that and be willing to deal with the fact that not everyone will like or love you as much as everyone else. So number one, it's about vulnerability. But number two, to me, transparency is about authenticity. You know, it's about being who you are so that there is no mismatch. You're the same person on and off the stage if you're a professional speaker. You're the same person at home as you are when you do business. I mean, how many of us know someone that's a charming individual in the marketplace, but when we get a glimpse behind the curtain, we find out they have terrible relationships at home and in their personal life? That, to me, is the antithesis of congruency, authenticity, and transparency.
Mark, I wish we had more time. I want to just ask you, up, down, sideways, how to succeed when times are good, bad, or in between. This drops when?
Well, it's going to be out October 1st. We're doing a big push for October 6th, but as of the 1st of October, you should be able to get it in brick-and-mortar stores at Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, not Borders anymore, but Books A Million and CEO Read. And if your listeners would like to download an excerpt and a summary PDF and an interview and some other stuff, they can go to MarkSanborn.com/UDS, MarkSanborn.com/UDS.
Mark, there will be links aplenty on the website. Listeners, if you want to go back to the website and click through to buy the book, to visit Mark's site to get more information, do that. You'll read a story from Mark in the upcoming edition of I Carry the Bag magazine. Mark, we thank you for taking a few minutes out of your day to join us on Wholesaler Masterminds Radio.
Well, thank you. It's been great to be with you.